This is the Winchester and District Talking newspaper for the week ending Friday the 24th of August 2012. The extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle this week have been edited by Lorna Chorley and Michael Turner. Your readers today are Jean Carswell.
Hello.
Brian Woodruff.
Hello.
And Pam Tilbury.
Hello.
And I am your presenter, Tom Williams. Now, this week's announcements. Here are several events on, in and around Winchester. On Tuesday the 28th of August, there's a lunchtime concert at Winchester Cathedral at 1 p.m. by the Royal Academy of Music. There'll be a retiring collection. On Thursday the 30th of August, at the Hampshire Record Office, at 1:15 p.m, there's a talk entitled Hampshire and the Olympic Games. This is a free event and there is no need to book. And on the same day, Thursday the 30th of August, organised by the Winchester Skeptics, at 7:30 p.m. at the Winchester Discovery Centre, there's a talk, The Young Atheist Handbook. Alom Saha, physics teacher, discusses growing up in a Bangladeshi community and the conflicts of science and faith. Village shows this week take place on Saturday the 1st of September, both at Littleton and at Alsford. Let's hope the weather is kind to them. And at the Theatre Royal next week, from Wednesday the 29th of August to Saturday the 1st of September, Rick Nick Productions present Thoroughly Modern Millie. For that event, the box office is 01962 840440. That's 01962 840440. Finally, at the Everyman Cinema next week, you can see The Bourne Legacy and Brave. Lighting Up Time ends on Friday the 24th of August at 6:07 a.m. and begins at 8:10 p.m. On Wednesday the 29th of August, it ends at 6:15 a.m. and begins at 7:58 p.m. The main headlines this week are student rents going through the roof, fight to save care home from closure, and sporting brothers set their goal. So can we have the story behind the first headline, please, Jean?
Yes, student rents going through the roof. 20% jump puts city sixth most expensive. Students pay more to rent accommodation in Winchester than counterparts studying at Oxford, new figures have revealed. Rents for city undergraduates have leapt by 20% this year, pushing up weekly charges from £71.80 to £86.40 on average. That compares to a national average increase of 2.4%, according to a survey carried out by Accommodation for Students. The rent spike comes as tuition fees have increased to around £8,500 per year for new undergraduates joining the university this autumn. Winchester students are paying more rent than students at Oxford, Warwick and Durham, all rated top 10 universities in National League tables. Rent is almost £20 higher per week than for a student at the University of Southampton, which ranked 40th on the survey. Harry Stowe, Winchester Student Union president, said, "It's a bad time for students, with the tuition rises which are hitting students hard. Things like the housing system are really important, so it's a shame these increases have all come at once. I think there needs to be a reassessment of student housing and maybe a cap on fees, because it's not fair students have to pay more in tuition and then even more in housing." He said, "One of the things about Winchester is that houses are very close to the campus, so students are getting a good location and saving money on transport. I hope rent would not affect a student's choice of university, but it is something that needs to be addressed, as it will affect someone's income. But we are doing well at the moment, and we have a lot of students starting in September, and our drop-off in applications has been very low compared to other universities. The university itself charges around £117 per week for accommodation, but for shorter contracts of between 28 to 40 weeks, while private rent contracts are for around 50 weeks. A spokesman for the university said there was no evidence increased rent was having an impact on applications. The spokesman said student numbers at Winchester remain relatively stable and the rents reflect the market for property in Winchester. There is no indication that accommodation costs on-site or off-site have or will deter students from applying to Winchester. The spokesman added, the university continues to invest in high-quality accommodation. The Queen's Road residence was opened in 2010 and the new Burma Road student village is under construction and due to open later this year. Students in London pay the most at an average of £108.03 per week. Guildford, Exeter, Cambridge and Brighton made up the rest of the top six most expensive cities. Oxford students pay an average £85.67 per week. Students in Portsmouth pay £77.77 per week, 15th highest in the survey.
Fight to save care home from closure. Relatives and union worried for frail residents. Relatives of elderly residents are fighting to save a Winchester care home threatened with closure. The County Council is proposing to shut Cornerways in Kingsworthy and two other homes in Gosport and Fleet. The Conservative-led council says the buildings are no longer fit for purpose and will cost £4.5 million to improve. But relatives have warned the trauma of moving could kill some of the 51 frail residents, the eldest of whom is 101. And union activists have criticised the council for planning the closures despite having £307 million of taxpayers' money in its coffers unspent. They say it is privatisation by the back door. A total of 111 care staff face redundancy or redeployment to other homes. One resident facing eviction from Cornerways is frail great-grandmother Frieda Harfield, aged 92, who had to give up living independently after several falls. Her son, David Harfield, 58, spoke at a public meeting on Tuesday at Chapel Hall in Fraser Road, organised by Public Sector Union Unison, to start a campaign against closures. The gas engineer said, "Mum is happy at Cornerways. She doesn't want to move. None of the residents do. Most of them are in their 90s. They don't want the upheaval of moving. It could affect the old people's health and be fatal, especially for those with dementia who don't like change." The council says the changes are part of a new care model for growing ageing population, including spending £45 million on extra care housing over the next 6 years as an alternative to residential care. This is sheltered housing with support on site. Other plans include building an extra 6 bedrooms and refurbishing a further 2 at West Holme Nursing Home in Harestock by spring 2014. Also facing having to leave Cornerways is great-grandmother Peggy Atkinson. Mrs. Atkinson said, "I am 97. I don't want to move. I don't want the hassle. I love it here. We have a lovely staff and carers. I think the building's all right." Anne Gibson, a volunteer helper at Cornerway, said, "It's a lovely home. It may not be pretty, but it has a heart. Residents don't want to leave. They're very anxious and stressed." Currently, only 13 elderly people live in the 40-bed home, partly because of some bedrooms not meeting fire regulations. Relatives say the home, which also provides respite breaks, has been deliberately run down. Campaigners dispute the council's claim that it's unsuitable to meet disabled residents' needs. They say doors were widened last year to accommodate wheelchairs, although other promised improvements never happened. However, they point out the Care Quality Commission, which inspects care homes in England, rated the homes as meeting all six key standards. Campaigners are calling for the council to spend the estimated £1.5 million needing to modernise Cornerways, including installing sprinklers, new windows and boilers. A 12-week public consultation ended on Monday, and a final decision is due on September the 21st. The planned closures mean that the number of county-run residential homes will be cut from 12 to 9.
Sporting Brothers set their goal. Two brothers will harness the power of sibling rivalry to shoot for gold at the Paralympics. Adam and David Knott of Chandlers Ford are competing for Team GB in the Paralympic gold ball squad. Adam, 17, a student at Peter Simmons College, Winchester, said, "We both want to be better than each other, so we really push each other to be the best we can. To represent Team GB in front of 7,500 people will bring so much pride to myself and my brother." David, 15, who attends Thorndon School in Chandlers Ford, said, "We both mainly play in the same position, but at the moment he's a bit better than me, so he's normally before me in the team choice." The team are training at Peter Simmons, and Principal Neil Hopkins said, "The college is very proud of Adam and delighted to have been able to help the GB team." Introduced to the Paralympics in 1976, gold ball is an indoor sport for the visually impaired. Both Adam and David are partially sighted, caused by an hereditary condition. The court has the same dimensions as volleyball, with the object being to roll the ball into the opposition's goal. A close-knit team, the whole squad are staying at the Knott family home. Mum, Bridget Knott, said it started small, then one team member joined them, and then another. "It didn't seem right for Gold Ball to pay for a hotel, so we decided to have them all at our house." Mrs. Knott added, "Words cannot describe our pride in them. When Adam was born, my husband was quite upset for him that he might not have the sporting enjoyment he had had himself. Little did he know." The squad will remain in Winchester until they head to Bath for their holding camp, with the Paralympics starting this Sunday, August the 26th. The team is targeting at least the quarter-final stages on September the 5th. And there's a photograph of the two boys in their Paralympic suits, and high on their foreheads are their light-eliminating goggles.
You may be interested to know that these two local boys suffer from ocular albinism and have only 10% sight. Winchester Rotary is holding a public raffle to support them and the Paralympic gold ball team, both for this competition and for future events representing their country. Tickets are £1 each and can be obtained from David Farthing on 01962 856 038. That's 01962 856 038. Now we continue with the obituary notices. The following deaths have been announced. Collier, Ernest William Collier, aged 91, in hospital. Fox, Christine Fox, quietly at home. Fraser, William Radford Fraser, peacefully at home, aged 76. Hall, Keith Hall, peacefully at Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 66. Hutton, Elizabeth Hutton, at Royal Hampshire County Hospital after a long illness. Keel, Joy Keel, peacefully at Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 78. And Kelly, Yvonne Elfrida Kelly. Christian comment this week is read by Jean. Thank you, Jean.
And it's headed Courage, Determination, Inspiration and Equality, and it's written by Rosemary A. Baker. Wasn't it amazing, the whole experience? After all the doom and gloom beforehand, the actual Olympics was a triumph in almost every area. Even the venues were just about full in the end. We didn't actually make it to an event, but like countless millions, were glued to television or radio as we waited with bated breath to hear and see how Team GB were faring. There were also other stories of courage and triumph over adversity to inspire us. The opening and closing ceremonies were an amazing celebration of our heritage, culture and values. There is much talk of the legacy of the Games and what it means for sport in this country. However, it's not all over yet, for at the end of the month, we are also hosting the Paralympic Games. It came as a package with the Olympics. Surprise, surprise, these games are nearly all sold out. Lord Coe has said the London Paralympics is already going to be the most successful Paralympics ever held. This is just as it should be, for the Paralympics began in this country just over 50 years ago in Stoke Mandeville in Aylesbury Bucks. The idea began with Dr. Ludwig Gutmann, a Jewish neurologist who had taken refuge in this country. A documentary about this amazing man was shown on BBC Two last week. Part of the legacy of the Olympics and Paralympics, I believe, should be on their values. When the modern Olympics began, their founder, Pierre de Coubertin, saw the opportunity to develop a set of values that could be applied to sport as well as to society as a whole. Respect, excellence and friendship. The Paralympics added to these a further four values: courage, determination, inspiration and equality. These are values that Christians should aspire to as well as the rest of society. More Than Gold is a website offering resources to churches which challenge them to make their churches as inclusive as the 2012 Games. The encouragement is for churches to make their events around the Games and beyond welcoming for those with disabilities and learning difficulties. The call is also for churches to use the Paralympics to highlight the issues of disability and inclusiveness to their members, and also address the issues of global injustice and promote inclusion of disabled people everywhere, for not all countries treat their disabled well. Indeed, it is only comparatively recently that we have begun to deal with how we treat disabled people in this country, and we still have a long way to go before we can say that all are dealt with fairly, equally, and without prejudice. We owe much to Lord Morris, who died last week.
Now we continue with letters to the editor, and the first letter is read by Brian. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. And that is from Graham Motley, who exhorts us to support your local hospitals. Sir, I had the privilege of being at a meeting in Andover earlier this month to look and listen at what is happening to our hospital now we've come under the umbrella of the Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, or HHFT. It was interesting to hear how the Trust was doing and what is to be done in future. If you looked around, several of the departments had taken a great deal of time to set up boards and were there to take questions. What I found frustrating was the lack of interest taken by the people of Andover. Many people had taken the time to set this up and be there for our community. If I have a stroke, I would expect to be sent to Winchester. If I had a heart attack, I would expect to go to Basingstoke. But if you require an endoscopy, an outpatient appointment, a small lump taken from the skin, or a mother having a baby, is it not good that it is at your local hospital? Many hospitals have been closed down, and action is taken when threatened, most times too late. Our hospital is not closing down from the way we are told. Even more work is to come from our fine hospital. As a member of both staff working at the hospital and a person who lives in Andover area, I feel that HHFT has a lot to offer. It would be good to see them get your support. The next time you have the chance, please come and have your say and support the people that care. And that's from Graham Motley of Test Cottage, Long Parish.
My first letter comes from K.L. Webb. Headline, New Speed Bumps Simply Don't Work. Sir, the resurfacing of Winnall Manor Road was long overdue and very welcome. But why on earth did the go-lighters at the City Council decide to put back the speed bumps instead of saving money and taking the far cheaper and less time-consuming option of applying a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit? Those of us who use this road have had to submit to well over a week of diversions and partial road blockages, which are so badly signed that until entering the road, it has been impossible to ascertain whether or not it was possible to reach Firmstone Road, Garbutt Road or Imber Road, which enable the roadworks to be bypassed. I have lost count of the number of times I've had to turn round and return to Alsford Road when expecting Garbutt Road and or Firmstone Road to be clear so I could reach my workplace. One alternative route available via Blue Ball Hill is extremely dangerous as it has to be accessed from a hairpin bend with poor sight lines, and more than once I have encountered cars using the one-way section of Blue Ball Hill in the wrong direction. Local residents, mainly elderly, have lost their bus services and access to the shops in Garbutt Road has been severely restricted. To make matters worse, the speed bumps are now so gentle that they do not achieve their aim of reducing speed below 30 miles per hour. Speed bumps do not work and cause considerable damage to our tyres and suspension as they break down, as they inevitably do. Enforced speed limits do work, as anyone who visits Portsmouth would agree. And that comes from K.L. Webb, Quarry Road, Winchester.
City planners out of touch with the people they serve. Sir, I know I'm not alone in deploring some of the recent decisions made by Winchester City Council. They seem to be totally out of touch with what the people want and need, or what is in the best long-term interests of the City of Winchester. Who would think it was a good idea to build another supermarket, Aldi, in Wick, next door to one and around the corner from the other excellent existing stores, Waitrose and Co-op? Why would anyone build on precious green space in Abbots Barton when the nearby area is already being rapidly developed, making the need for open areas even greater? Surely the obvious answer would be to build houses on the empty site next to Waitrose. These decisions follow on from the disastrous WCC plan to include the development of Barton Farm in the planning strategy, rushed through by George Beckett just before his resignation from the council. Please could all our city councillors act in the best interests of Winchester. That's from Lynn Marriott, Courtney Road, Winchester, and there's a photograph of obviously another Aldi store, but with the big Aldi sign outside, I suppose, looking to the day when we will have one at Wick.
And here's a different slant on this, called Customer Choice and New Jobs Are Welcome News, from Judy Hickman. Sir, I welcome the news that Aldi is about to start building its new supermarket in Wick and will definitely be shopping there. Winchester currently has fewer food stores than Andover, even though the population is larger. Many people in Wick and the surrounding area will appreciate the choice of goods and prices which Aldi and Waitrose together will provide. While I understand some of the concerns of residents of Burnett Close, I was disappointed at the negative tone of the Chronicle's report and would have expected a more balanced approach. The construction period will be shorter than Waitrose, and I suspect delays that have been attributed to Aldi may not have been entirely their fault. There have been a number of issues with the Winchester City Council, including signage. In these difficult economic times, one must also not forget that Aldi will provide new jobs locally. And that's from Judy Hickman, Dean Down Drive, Littleton, Winchester. And there's an editor's reply to this letter. Our report reflected the thoughts and frustrations of many local residents, not least the city's MP, Steve Bryan, over the lack of consultation from Aldi, as the site had become overgrown and an eyesore after being left derelict for a number of years. The Chronicle welcomes customer choice and the creation of local jobs.
Ms. Christine E. Full James Madison writes this letter headed "Ban These Violent Games and Videos." Sir, if we want to bring up our new generation to accept war and all its implications of cruelty and death, then the present attitude towards war video games is perfect. We will have a generation, many of whom will be hardened to feel no empathy, happily ready to eliminate countless fellow humans on demand. The alternative wish is for a generation who are always ready to negotiate, compromise if necessary, and who would personally feel a responsibility for the welfare of others, and who will not believe that force is right. We must take immediate drastic action to ban all harmful, violent videos and video games, and urgently recall the ones already distributed. There is no doubt whatsoever that these violent so-called games develop men and boys, and even I suspect some girls, to become more aggressive and prone to violence in real life. This is a proven fact. I believe we should unite and demand a rethink on freedom when it is known to be so harmful. Violent war games and videos must be eliminated, and children taught manners and ethics at school alongside their general education. I also know that the teaching of different religions in school is sowing disregard for the future. We should understand it is a retrograde step and rapidly reconsider the implications. And I said that letter comes from Christine E. Full James Madison of Botley Road, Curdridge.
Sounds like a very good deal, is the heading of this letter from Roger Grucock. A quick calculation shows that it costs a full-time worker commuting to London on a season ticket about £10 for each trip. To be whisked the 75 miles into the capital centre in 75 minutes, time to read the Hampshire Chronicle and enjoy a cuppa, all for a tenner, sounds like a good deal. To all those people who don't work in central London, who have to drive to remote business parks and industrial estates in heavy traffic, on shocking roads, paying an average 55p a mile, that sounds like a very good deal. Roger Grucock, Ashdown Close, Chandler's Ford.
Looking back, we begin with news from 200 years ago. Thank you, Brian.
Right, and that's 1812. The metropolis has been very generally illuminated in honour of the victory of Salamanca. The streets from Whitechapel to Hyde Park were one continuous train of light, the whole bright but parts eminently splendid. Apsley House, residence of the Marquess of Wellesley, displayed a fine picture of the Earl of Wellington. Above it was the world. India on the right, to which the portrait looked, it was written Spain left, Portugal and the bottom, Salamanca.
And we'll come forward 100 years to 1912, which has two parts. Early on Monday morning, a fire occurred at Denham Court, Park Road, Winchester, the residence of Mrs. Strange, which did damage estimated at £500. We understand that it was fortunately covered by insurance. the fire originated in what may be called a one-storey building with a loft-like apartment over, used as a box room, which was originally built on to the main residence as stabling. And secondly, after being closed a fortnight for renovation and improvements, the popular place of amusement called the Palace will reopen on Monday, but under vastly different arrangements to those which have been hitherto prevailed. Messrs. Coleman intend to try the experiment of running two houses nightly at 6:45 and 9 p.m. and when the public of Winchester have seen how improved and comfortable the hall now is, we think quite sufficient support will be forthcoming.
And 50 years ago, in 1962, on September the 10th, the southern region of British Railways starts its winter services, and among the changes being made are that on Sundays, passengers travelling either way between Waterloo and Basingstoke will lose some of their steam trains. They will have a two-hourly service of Hampshire diesel-electric multiple-unit trains between Woking and Basingstoke, connecting with the Portsmouth electric trains for the journey between Woking and Waterloo. There was swift reaction in Eastleigh on Wednesday night to a statement that 20,000 men would become redundant in railway workshops throughout the country in the next 5 years. The Mayor, Councillor A.A. Lee, said that if it was correct, the situation was far more serious than anticipated. We shall continue to press for information as to the effect on Eastleigh and on the way in which the redundancy will be phased, he said.
Now, up to date almost in 1987, 25 years ago, motorists travelling the A27 between West End and Burselden may not have noticed the unusual wildlife sanctuary in the centre of Windover roundabout. Work by the Itchin Hamble Countryside Project to transform the area into a colourful wildflower meadow is now well underway. The scheme, backed by Eastleigh and Hampshire councils, has seen a reduction in the grass-cutting programme for the four-acre site and is already greatly benefiting wildlife. And secondly, an expanded Hampshire County show attracted more variety than ever this year, including stunt acts and a reenactment of a Saxon war. Over 20,000 passed through the gates of the show, held at Royal Victoria Country Park at Netley last Friday, Saturday and Sunday. A second arena was introduced, the major attraction being the war between members of the Warlords, a group specially formed for the occasion by the Reavers Dark Age Combat Society.
Hampshire Chronicle comment this week is read by Pam and will be followed by First Person read by Brian. Thank you, Pam.
Yes, the headline of the Chronicle comment is High Students' Rents Could Backfire. Students living in Winchester have seen their average weekly rent shoot up by 20% in the last year, compared to a national average increase of just 2.4%. The latest figures make the city the sixth most expensive in the country for student rents. It means they are now paying £86.40 per week on average, up from £71.80 per week. That's around 20 pence per week more than counterparts in Southampton and about £10 more than Portsmouth. So far, it appears the cost has had little or no effect on the popularity of Winchester as a destination for students. Apart from the excellent university itself, the amenities offered here and Winchester's transport and communication links have proved a big draw. But private landlords should not be complacent and would do well to learn a lesson from their brethren in the city's retail sector. Higher rents in the High Street and surrounding roads are seeing a steady but worrying exodus of businesses. With rising tuition fees, the time is surely coming when prospective students will have to decide whether they can afford to come here.
And Ron Allison is First Person this week, entitled Reaching the Very Summit. So in the break between the Olympic Games and the Paralympics, the chance to draw breath and reflect on a remarkable 2 weeks. I know there's been a test match and the football season is underway, but it's not quite the same, is it? In fact, it's nowhere near the same. And of course, it can't possibly be so. By definition, an Olympiad is something very special, the very summit, and London 2012 was certainly that. For a good number of us, the Games really began in a personal sense as the Olympic torch was on its way to London through Hampshire. That was some days before the opening ceremony, but it set the tone of excitement, enthusiasm and involvement that was soon to overwhelm us. Staid old Winchester going quite potty. Wonderful. Memories abound then to each of his or her own. Mine include some of the more obvious ones many will share. One or two are perhaps more individual. For instance, Mo Farah won his second gold medal for the 5,000 metres, watched by about 30 of us in the lounge of a South Coast hotel. Over his incredible final burst, Farah was roared and screamed home by every single one of us. The room was bedlam, and I don't believe we could have been more involved had we been in the stadium. That's not to say we wouldn't have preferred to have been there, but the BBC's coverage was superb compensation. More predictably, my nomination for best performance is David Rashida's world record in 800 metres. With his power and grace, and yes, speed as well, his run was a joy to watch. In fact, Lord Coe, who knows a thing or two about middle distance running, said it was the most accomplished piece of running he'd ever seen. I'll happily take his word for that. Maybe not quite in that class, but wonderfully rewarding, was the performance of Heather Stanning and Helen Glover in the rowing in their way to Team Britain's first gold medal. The venues were incomparable, the settings surely unrivalled. London itself, with all its most famous landmarks featuring perfectly, naturally could not have been more spectacular. If it rained, it seemed not to matter one bit, and when the sun shone, everything glistened, and not only the medalists. While we rejoiced in those who triumphed, these did seem to be the games when taking part did seem to be what mattered most, and that clearly applied to all the amazing volunteers as well. Much has been said and written about the legacy of the Games. What this may eventually prove to be remains to be seen, but for the moment there are memories, wonderful reminders of an exceptional 2 weeks that will live on. And don't forget Andy Murray won the gold medal at Wimbledon.
Now we continue with items of general news, and the first item is read by Jean. Thank you, Jean.
A-level results. Peter Simmons College, Winchester. It was another bumper year for Peter Simmons College, even if the results hall was not quite a full house. With a 99% pass rate at A-level, Principal Neil Hopkins was understandably pleased, though he did say the Winchester College was the quietest he had ever seen it on results day. He said, "As always, when you've got 99% pass rates, there's not much room to improve, so we're just pleased to keep it up. Increasingly, students are picking up their results online now. We make them available on the website, but it's a shame if they don't come in, and we hope they do, because we've got the after-sales service if they haven't got the results they want, and we can help them contact the universities." Oliver Adams, 18, from Whitchurch, achieved no less than 6 A stars, securing a place at Oxford University in the process. Oliver, who will study biochemistry, said, "I was thinking I'd do okay, but not this good. I'm absolutely over the moon." Philippa Little, 18, from Week, received 3 A's and an A star, though she will not follow her friends to university. Philippa said, "I applied to university and I was going to go to UCL, but I changed my mind because I got an offer from the Navy and I thought I couldn't really surpass that." Will Jackson, 18, from North Baddesley, received 1 A star, 1 A and 1 B, and will study physics at Warwick University. The overall pass rate was 0.2% lower than in 2011, but Mr Hopkins believes this reflects a nationwide trend. There were 49 students with conditional offers from Oxford or Cambridge, and 33 students attained the equivalent of 5 or more A-levels at A-Star. Add to that a 92.5% pass rate at AS level, and Peter Simmons has again confirmed itself as one of the top colleges in England, and there are several very happy, colourful photographs of students waving their results, accompanied by big smiles on their faces.
Road is an accident waiting to happen. Blind spots and obstructions put safety at risk, claim. A Winchester road has been branded dangerous by a resident shortly after a teenager almost died in a motorbike crash. Stephen Mockoff said accidents were waiting to happen in Park Road because of blind spots and obstructions that force cars to overtake. 19-year-old Jordan Griffin escaped death after his motorbike collided with a Ford Galaxy in May. He lost 40% of his blood, but quick action from passers-by and residents, including Mr. Mockoff and a Basics medic, Bruce Armstrong, meant he survived. But Mr. Mockoff, 31 of Park Road, said vehicles were always at risk of collisions because of the bus stop by the junction with Worthy Road. He said there's a bus stop just before the turn into Park Road, and whenever a bus stops, it blocks the traffic behind, and cars tend to try to overtake. It's a total blind spot and a stupid place to put a bus stop. You should not put something that obstructive near a junction. There's so many blind spots along this road, you always have to be on your guard. Coming out of our drive is one of the worst ones, and it's potluck guess as to whether or something is coming the other way. But it won't be until there's a fatality that anyone notices and does something about it. Mr. Mockoff, a financial advisor, added, "My wife is a district nurse, and I remember her coming to me and saying there'd been a crash, and we rushed outside. I saw the boy and we noticed the cut on his throat. I gave my wife my jumper and she used it to stop the bleeding, and we all kept talking to him to try and keep him aware, but you could see his eyes rolling. I saw in the Hampshire Chronicle he'd survived and felt very glad about that." But County Councillor Mel Kendall, Executive Member for Environment and Transport, said the Joint Council and Police investigation had concluded that no action was necessary in Park Road. He said, "We are aware that local residents have raised concerns over the reduced visibility or cars overtaking stationary buses on the wrong side of the road at this location. The cause of most recent serious incident has not been attributed to the stationary or park vehicles obscuring the driver's view." Stagecoach South Managing Director Andrew Dyer said the company had not had any complaints about the stop, but would approach the County Council for a review of the location. He said, "We've not had any direct reports brought to our attention about the problems here, but we'll certainly discuss it with the County Council for a review and see whether another location might be more appropriate. But the final decision rests with the Council." And there's a picture of Mr. Mockoff, sorry, I beg your pardon, not him, medic Bruce Armstrong and Jordan Griffith, who was the motorcyclist.
RHCH Trials, a hygiene handle. Royal Hampshire County Hospital is launching a new pilot scheme to reduce infections. The Winchester Hospital has begun a trial of the so-called Pure Hold hygienic door handle that automatically dispenses sanitising gel directly into a hand when the door is opened. It makes sure everyone from patients to doctors have clean hands when they enter a ward. Designed by Hampshire inventor Matt Roberts, the handle is being used at the stroke unit in Twyford Ward. Initial trials here last year were very successful, and we are excited to be one of the first hospitals in the country to undertake a full-scale evaluation. Infections can also lead to staff sickness and ward closures.
Westminster Diary this week by George Hollingbury, MP for the Meon Valley. The other day I went up to London on the stopping service. I was ambling through the Hampshire countryside and unfamiliar stations and actually hearing conversations, unlike the usual commuter train that falls instantly into silence the moment the doors close. One particular conversation did prick my ears up. A group of young boys and girls were poking fun at one of their number for having a job at a well-known fast food restaurant. It was good-natured, but one sentence did make me think when one friend said to the worker, "Mate, flipping burgers is for losers. I'd rather be on the dole." I was reading a newspaper report just then about a certain Kate Riley, an unemployed geology graduate, who had tried to get the High Court to agree that working at Poundland for free on a government back-to-work initiative was slavery. Miss Riley argued that her participation in the government's sector-based work academy scheme was stopping her finding a permanent job in her specialist field. The wise judge, Mr. Justice Fosgate, expressed his incredulity at using human rights laws designed to combat colonial-style exploitation to attempt to avoid having to work for benefits at Poundland. Now, I might be a Conservative MP, but I don't think I'm reactionary about these issues. I realise that most young people are hungry for work, that there are those that couldn't care less, has always been the case to some extent. But there is one fundamental change in attitudes over the last 30 years that makes this issue more complicated. When did it become okay to ridicule work? How can being on the dole ever be better than working at a fast food restaurant? How can getting work experience at a well-known store be considered slavery? I admire people who work at fast food restaurants, just like I admire anyone who provides for themselves and their loved ones. It's perhaps not the best job in the world, but for many, it's a stepping stone to better things. Employers like it too. It shows commitment, motivation, and an ability to be trusted and to take responsibility. All great skills to have if you want to get on. Now, I could go on about the level of benefits, whether schools and parents expect enough of some of our young people, the celebrity culture of something for nothing. We all know the arguments, but I believe it's the responsibility of everyone, from parents to government ministers, to instill an attitude of wanting to work. The Coalition has instigated welfare reform and back-to-work schemes that might start a change in attitudes. But what about also saying to those who work in so-called lowly jobs, "Well done, good for you." It's perhaps a start.
It's a tall order, but calf is safely delivered. It's not every day you get to witness the wonders of the African savannah in Winchester. But visitors to Marwell Wildlife got just that last week when they were surprised by the birth of a giraffe. The zoo's giraffe, Isabella, went into labour at around 8 a.m. last Friday and gave birth to a healthy calf after almost 4 hours in labour. Keepers said the calf soon found its feet and instantly bonded with its mum. John Pullen, curator of the mammals at Marwell Wildlife, said, "This is Isabella's third birth. It went extremely well, and Isabella took it all in her stride. The baby is tall and strong, and was standing an hour later and walking an hour or so after that." The public were allowed to watch the birth along with keepers and other members of staff. "As soon as the calf was born, we closed the house to let baby and mum bond. It's not yet clear whether the calf is male or female, but closer examination will take place in the next few days." Staff added, "Isabella is very protective of her youngster, but it had been introduced to the rest of the herd. The calf will begin to eat solids in around a month's time and be fully weaned within a year. All giraffes at Marwell are on public view and can be seen in the Inter Africa exhibit or the Valley Field with fellow African species like zebras, ostriches and waterbucks. And there's a picture of Mother Isabella and the calf looking very happy.
Grassland will be cleared, says the MOD. Ministry of Defence chiefs have confirmed action will be taken to clear a patch of overgrown grassland, which has become a cause for concern for residents living nearby. The land at Erskine Road in Winchester has become a no-go area for children to play, following claims that drug users have been spotted in the long grass. The land is owned by the MOD and is the subject of an option to purchase by the housing group A2 Dominion, which wants to build 18 new homes. In the meantime, maintenance of the land is the MOD's responsibility. Despite pressure from Councillor Ian Tate and MP Steve Brine, the MOD has failed to do anything about the land. But following a report into the problems in last week's Hampshire Chronicle, an MOD spokesman said, "The Defence Infrastructure Organisation, the DIO, is in ongoing discussion with Winchester City Council about how some of this land might be used for much-needed affordable housing. This has meant that maintenance has been delayed, but instructions have now been given to cut the grass." Responding to the news, Councillor Tate said, "It's good to hear, but I'll be waiting with bated breath. I walked past there yesterday and it hadn't been done yet. But if they said they're going to do it, then that's something positive."
Melanie's Team GB target. With the London Olympics having drawn to a close and the Paralympics set to start, deaf athletes across the world are gearing up for their own version of the Games next year. When her world fell silent a few years ago, Melanie Jewett was determined to keep living life to the full. Although registered profoundly deaf, she continued to throw herself into marathon running and has competed in 52 of them to date. And the 40-year-old is now celebrating after winning a place on Team GB to compete at the Deaflympics 2013 in Sofia, Bulgaria. "It feels absolutely amazing," said Melanie from Hedge End. "Never in a million years did I think I'd get the chance to run for Team GB and wear the Great Britain kit. To have this opportunity due to my disability and gain something very, very positive from it is a fantastic feeling." Deaflympic athletes are totally unfunded and they have to meet the costs, estimated to be around £3,500, themselves. So she is appealing for any businesses or individuals for financial support to help her realise her dream. "It is a vast amount of money to raise," says Melanie. "It is going to be very hard, especially with so much other fundraising going on elsewhere for other very worthwhile charities. But as difficult as it will be, I will try my very best and hope that there are enough people out there that want to help me get to the Deaflympic Games and achieve my dreams." Held every 4 years, the Deaflympics is an IOC-sanctioned event at which deaf athletes compete at an elite level. Excuse me. More than 4,000 deaf athletes and officials from 77 nations participated in the 21st Summer Games in Taipei in 2009. To qualify for the Games, athletes must have a hearing loss of at least 55 decibels in their better ear. "I am not an elite marathoner to the standard of Paula Radcliffe or Liz Yelling, for example, but marathon running has been a huge part of my life for the last 10 years," said Melanie. "I instantly loved the distance and found it suited me. There have been times over the years when I have missed out on conversations when I'm out with friends or have to be dragged out of the way of traffic. But running just makes me feel so positive. It really helps with my hearing situation." Becoming severely deaf 9 years ago, Melanie lost her hearing completely in 2009. but her life was transformed thanks to cochlear implant surgery the following year. Unlike hearing aids, cochlear implants bypass the damaged hair cells in the inner ear and stimulate the hearing nerve directly. However, she won't have an unfair advantage at the Deaflympics, as hearing aids and cochlear implants are not allowed to place all athletes on the same level. With a personal best of 3 hours 27 minutes, Melanie is hoping to equal it or better it at the Games. Any businesses or individuals interested in supporting Melanie financially can get in touch with her by emailing melkjewett@gmail.com. And there's a lovely picture of Melanie heading towards the finishing line at the Amsterdam Marathon in 2009. And she's smiling and looking really fit and well.
Walk to Aid the Homeless. A sponsored walk in Winchester is set to raise money to help the homeless. The event on Sunday, September the 16th, aims to raise money for the Trinity Centre and the Winchester Church's night shelter. Frank and Anne Pearson, the mayor and mayoress, will launch the walks, 1 and 5 and the other of 12 miles, at Abbey Gardens at 9:30 a.m. Registration is £10 per person, and all participants will receive a walk pack with details of the day and plenty of tips on raising sponsorship. Various signage and marshals will be stationed along both routes to watch out for walkers and distribute water and other items. Following the event, participants and the public are invited back to Abbey Gardens for a hog roast, homemade tea and cakes, local stalls and competitions. Prizes will be awarded for the first and last to cross the finish line. The sponsorship money raised will help support hundreds of people in Winchester suffering homelessness and unemployment and help them to gain greater independence.
Revealed the long-forgotten gems in the city's landscape. Winchester is the first city in the UK to benefit from a series of remarkable historical maps. The historical map of Winchester about 1800 was launched at Abbey House last week. The map shows the city as it once was, revealing long-forgotten points of interest, such as the old county hospital, the city's jail, and the site of the gallows. Commissioned by the Historic Towns Trust, it was researched and compiled by the Winchester Excavations Committee. Professor Martin Biddle, director of the committee and emeritus professor of archaeology at Oxford University, said, "The major thing we discovered is that the street plan we use today was laid out during King Alfred's reign. The street plan is Anglo-Saxon, and this is what controls Winchester's development today. When we set the excavations committee up in 1962, we said we're not exploring Roman Winchester or Anglo-Saxon Winchester, but the city itself in its own right, Winchester as a phenomenon. Other historic cities, such as York, will also be the subject of old maps, but Winchester is the first to be completed and published." The launch, hosted by the Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Frank Pearson, was attended by dignitaries, including past mayors and current councillors. The mayor said, "This is a product of Martin's innovation. Much of his work has been taken and used by other urban archaeologists to excavate Exeter, York, London, and also abroad." Also present was chairman of the excavation committee, Barbara Bryant. Mrs. Bryant said, "Winchester doesn't always sell its history well, as it might, but this will be a pretty unique and important contribution to people's enjoyment of the city when they come here." In 2004, Mrs. Bryant was the first woman to receive a Millennium Egg, an award presented by the City of Winchester for services to the economy and community. She was surprised at the map launch with a certificate and a shield to keep in recognition of winning the award, since the egg is not kept by the recipient. The foldable map, complete with introduction and gazetteer, is available from the tourist office and bookshops throughout the city.
Jobless figures fall. Official figures brought welcome news to Hampshire's economy with a drop in the number of people on jobless benefits. Dole queues shortened in most parts of the south, and July's claimant count of 18,749 was more than 250 lower than the previous month. However, there are still more people claiming Job Seekers Allowance, JSA, than a year ago, and business chiefs said they were worried about the number of young people looking for work. Following the release of the figures last week from the Office for National Statistics, ministers insisted the South East continued to outperform the national average, despite a drop in employment and a 2,000 rise in unemployment in the last quarter. This wider measure is separate to the Job Seekers Allowance figures, as it includes people not actively looking for work. A total of 5,240 18 to 24-year-olds are claiming JSA across the South. Of these, 1,835 have been claiming for more than 6 months. Ian Welland, head of area development for Hampshire Chamber of Commerce, hailed the figures as proof of renewed optimism. He said, "In Hampshire's case, the youth unemployment figures remain a particular concern. But I'm pleased there is so much being done to encourage apprenticeships and training. The key now," he said, "was to boost job skills and training, as well as introducing funding to encourage hiring." Neil Eames, development manager for the FSB Wessex region, welcomed the news but said, "While it is good that people are in jobs, these jobs are mainly part-time, when people would prefer full-time work." According to the figures, there were 976 people claiming JSA in the Winchester district in July, a fall of just one compared to June.
This is entitled Bordering on the Impressive. A world-famous plantsman has praised the newest attraction at Hampshire Garden Centre. TV gardening presenter Roy Lancaster joined some of the staff at Sir Harold Hillier Gardens in Ampfield to celebrate its completion. Roy described its centenary border right as one of his top five favourite features of any garden. 5 years in the planning, staff and around 100 volunteers worked on the project for more than 2 years. It's 250 metres long, making it the longest double border in the country, meaning it has flower beds to the left and right of the walkway. With over 30,000 plants, the border replaced the one originally planted in 1964 by Sir Harold Hillier to celebrate 100 years of his family business. Head of the collections at the garden, David Jewell, said, "This is one of the most ambitious projects which will help lead the gardens into the next 25 to 30, 50 years. Hillier's is offering a guided tour of the centenary border with its horticultural experts. These take place on alternate Wednesdays each month and are free with admission." And there's a picture of Roy Lancaster and also of a crowd of people who are obviously involved in providing the centenary walk, and a picture of the walk itself. All very attractive.
Soft furnishing shop closes. Parchment Street has said goodbye to another long-standing trader. Last week, people like us vacated their premises after 13 years of selling soft furnishings and lighting. Shop owners Bob and Jilly Boddy will now focus on selling custom-made furnishings from their workshop at home. Mrs. Boddy said, "We're closing the shop, but not the business. It's very sad to be leaving Parchment Street. It's a very friendly street and we have got to know people here. We have noticed the footfall foot flow has gone down over the years, and it certainly went down significantly when the traffic flow changed direction. The news comes in the wake of reports from Winchester Business Improvement District, the BID, that footfall on Parchment Street was down 22% over the past 2 years. Catherine Turnus, BID Projects Manager, said, "We are quite worried, as it is showing a constant decline. It suffers from a lack of presence on Sundays and Mondays, when a lot of the shops are not open. Mrs. Boddy feels the street would benefit from improved signage. She said, "We asked for a sign, but nothing happened. People parking at the open-air car park down the road can come down Parchment Street or choose the next street along. They go down the next street because often they don't realise this is a shopping street."
Take your dogs for a free health check. Dog owners in Winchester are invited to take their four-legged friends along for a free health check at two sites in the city. The People's Dispensary for Sick Animals, PDSA, is carrying out free dog MOTs to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the charity's Pet Check Tour. A PDSA veterinary nurse will examine the weight, body shape, teeth, eyes, coat, and general fitness of canine visitors. And free advice will be available about other pets. Microchipping and nail clipping will also be available at a low cost. PDSA officials warn of a pet obesity epidemic in the UK, so nurses will also advise owners on the best shape and weight for their pet. The checkups are available in Winchester from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, September the 5th, at the River Park Leisure Centre, Gordon Road, and on Sunday, September the 9th, at Sainsbury's, Badger Farm Road, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The free service is also available from the following sites in Hampshire between 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday, September the 6th, at Wickham Square, Wickham. Friday, September the 7th, at Kidmore Lane, Denmead. And Saturday, September the 8th, at the Lakeside Country Park, Eastleigh.
Police crackdown on drugs led to a £130,000 seizure at the festival. Police have revealed that £130,000 of drugs were seized at the Boomtown Music Festival last week. Following a drug-related death at 2011 event, Hampshire Constabulary worked close with a serious organised crime agency to clamp down on drugs being brought into the Matterley Bowl site near Winchester. During the four-day event, which ran from August the 9th to the 12th, 121 people were formally dealt with for drugs possession, with 27 arrests for supply offences. Amnesty bins meant drugs could be surrendered without fear of reprisal, while uniformed and plainclothes officers patrolled the site, arresting suspected dealers. "We work closely with the festival organisers and private security teams, and by reducing the availability of drugs, we aim to lower the risk to festival goers." Boomtown founder Chris Rudds said, "We had all the local authorities on site, and they were extremely helpful. We work really closely with them so that nothing comes at us out of the blue." Organisers were also keen to avoid a repeat of last year's problems with gatecrashers jumping the barriers. The festival was deemed a success by organisers and partygoers alike, although on the Friday, a water supply problem affected most of the site. People were unable to fill up water bottles, and the problem was exacerbated by the heat. John Ridley, vocalist from the Smokestack Shakers, said he was surprised when he asked staff for water backstage. They said there wasn't any. "There were punters dancing all day in the sun, but the only water you could get on Friday was £2 or £3 a bottle." The problem was resolved by Friday evening, when a water tanker arrived and bottles could be replenished free of charge. And there's a picture of a packed Batterley Bowl with all the stuff going on for the festival.
Celebrations tempered by fears for charity's future. An innovative mental health service based in Winchester could be forced to close unless further funding can be found. The Mental Health Befriending Service aims to reduce the social isolation of those in the Winchester district with mental health issues. People in need of help, known as befriendees, are partnered with volunteers, known as befrienders. Many of the volunteers have had themselves mental health issues in the past. Befriending coordinator Bruce White said, "We are privileged to have a superb team of 15 dedicated volunteers who do a great job meeting up with their befriendees to help them get out and about and feel less isolated. The project is financed by the Big Lottery Fund for a fixed term of 3 years, which runs out next year." Mr. White said, "In theory, the service stops then. We're looking at other means of funding, such as GP commissioning or NHS trusts. The more volunteers we can attract, the better the chances of the project continuing." David Ralph, from Winchester, volunteered to befriend someone 18 months ago. He said, "It's satisfying. There is a guy who likes to go out and look at churches, and I can help him to see them. To see his enthusiasm is great for me. It's a two-way thing." Mr. White added, "These volunteers are doing it for nothing, so it's important they get something out of it." The service celebrated its second birthday earlier this month at St. Peter's Church in Jury Street. A presentation was given by Tracy Butler, Managing Director of Raise Wellbeing, a mental health training consultancy run entirely by people who have themselves experienced mental illness. If you would like to volunteer, contact Mr. White on 01962 871710. That's 01962 871710.
Support your air ambulance. Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance is urging people to support National Air Ambulance Week. The Charity Week, which takes place between September the 24th and September the 30th, is used to raise funds and awareness to help air ambulances to continue saving lives. John Perry, Chief Executive of HIOWAA, that is Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance, said, "We are always heartened and amazed at the range of fundraising initiatives our supporters think of to raise funds for the charity. We are only flying due to the generosity of the people of Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, as we receive no government or statutory funding. The service needs to raise around £110,000 per month to keep its helicopters flying, and is appealing for residents to hold fundraisers, big and small, throughout the week. For more details, contact 02380 333 377. I'll repeat, 02380 333 377.
Becky pushes for record. A former Winchester student is looking to set a new world record later this year with the help of her 18-month-old daughter. Becky Lester, 33, will run half of Winchester Rotary's Clarendon Way Marathon with daughter Rachel in a buggy. The Guinness Book of Records has an entry for half marathon with a buggy in New York, but no one has tried the distance across country yet. Becky, who was born in Broughton, went to Peter Simmons College and said, "I wanted to do something after having kids, but having time away from my children is not an option, so I wanted to find a way to train with my daughter. Rachel's fine with the running, she just sleeps most of the time, and as long as she has a box of raisins afterwards, she enjoys herself." She added, "It'll be great if I can break the record, I just have to do it in under 3.5 hours. The event is being organised by both Winchester and Salisbury Rotary as their main fundraising event for the year in support of a number of charities. Becky is running to raise money for her local preschool and to donate, visit mydonate.bt.com/fundraisers/BeckyBuggy. And there's a picture here of Becky with two assistants, and one of them's holding a notice which says, Clarendon Marathon, beware of tree roots, branches and obstacles. Must be very good for a young baby. That's a very happy-looking picture.
Motocross GP marred as top-end bikes are stolen. Thieves made off with more than £25,000 worth of motorcycles from the British Motocross Grand Prix at the Matterley Bowl. A total of 6 bikes were taken during the event near Winchester last weekend, which was attended by some 20,000 people. 3 specialist bikes, worth a combined £21,000, were taken from a tent in the main Grand Prix paddock, and the alarm was raised when a staff member from a nearby stand spotted 3 men pushing the bikes through a fence on Saturday morning. The bikes worth £7,200, £6,900 and £6,800 were the property of Husqvarna Motorcycles and were on a display stand at the company's show truck and tent. A spokesman, Dave Plummer, said, "It's very disappointing that there was no security around at the time. That paddock should have been like Fort Knox. No one should have been able to get anything out of there." Mr. Plummer added, "The police have been very good. I had a conversation with them and they said they had the dogs out there on Saturday morning trying to see if they could get a scent. Between Thursday night, August the 16th, and Friday morning, August the 17th, police say a 14-year-old boy visiting with his family from the Canary Islands also had a £5,500 KTM trial bike stolen. During the same period, a 49-year-old Dutchman had 2 motorcycles stolen from the rear of his van. No arrests have yet been made, but Sergeant Stuart Gilmore of Winchester's North Wall Police Station believes the thefts could have been the work of one gang. An event like this would clearly attract a niche interest," he said, "so there must be a possibility that all 3 incidents are linked. Despite problems away from the track, it was a successful weekend of racing, and the Husqvarna Motorcycles is offering a reward for information leading to the recovery of its missing bikes."
Charities in the running for top awards. Wessex Charity Awards 2012, finalists in 5 categories announced. Charities in the Wessex region are once again being recognised for their outstanding work after being shortlisted as finalists for the prestigious Wessex Charity Awards 2012. The shortlisted nominees will be attending a glittering presentation ceremony to be held at the Winchester Guildhall on the evening of Thursday, October the 11th. Now in its 3rd year, the Wessex Charity Awards give star status to the special people who work and volunteer in the charity sector. The judging panel, made up of voluntary sector professionals, had the difficult task of deciding on the finalists from a record number of nominations. The Wessex Charity Awards, which are supported by the Hampshire Chronicle and Daily Echo, were founded and are organised by Winchester-based Charisma Charity Recruitment, which recruits and headhunts for chief executives, directors, trustees, fundraisers and other charity managers. Its clients include Make-A-Wish Foundation, Winchester Cathedral Trust, British Liver Trust, Disability Challenges, Emmaus, RSPCA and Compassion in World Farming. The evening will be hosted by Hampshire and England cricketing legend David Gower, OBE, at the gala dinner and awards ceremony for 300 people.
We heard earlier about the A-level results from Peter Simmons College, and here's a similar report on St Swithin's School. Pupils at St Swithin's School achieved excellent A-level results this year, especially in science and maths. More than three-quarters of the entries at Winchester All-Girls School were graded A-star or A for chemistry, with 90% of students achieving the same grades for maths and 95% for biology. Overall, 28% of students received an A-star grade, compared with 7.9% nationally and 74.7% achieved at least an A grade. Religion, philosophy and ethics, Greek, German, food technology, music and theatre studies all had 100% of candidates achieving all A-star and A grades, while a further seven subjects had 100% of candidates achieving all A-star to B grades. Jane Gandy, headmistress, said, "These excellent results reflect the determination of our pupils and the encouragement and dedication of our teachers. I've been particularly pleased to see the way in which girls have combined their academic studies with a range of other activities, both at St Swithin's and beyond the school gates. We urge all our pupils to look beyond the straitjacket of the public exam specification, and with this in mind, we're introducing Stretch, a challenging enrichment programme for all pupils from September."
Pub rises from the ashes. A landmark pub in Wickham is set to reopen after severe flooding forced its closure. Staff at the Bay Horse were left devastated after the destruction from floods in June. Jeanette Heppel, general manager of the Bay Horse, said, "We were completely heartbroken when the floods destroyed the pub and caused hundreds of thousands of pounds in damage and lost revenue. But we are very positive about the future of the pub. The Font Street pub has been closed for 10 weeks and required a full refurbishment. It will reopen next bank holiday Monday, August the 27th, and will host a big weekend of events in early September."
Inspired by city's iconic heritage, Winchester's Great Hall is the inspiration for a new range of bespoke T-shirts. So Iconic, based in Winchester, has produced two T-shirts as part of its Winchester collection. The Knight of the Round Table and the Lady of the Great Hall garments designs are part of a range of Winchester-themed souvenirs and gifts available in gift shops across the city and the Great Hall shop.
Police Speed Campaign. Hampshire Police have been supporting a European speed enforcement campaign this week. The campaign began on Monday with officers patrolling roads where speed is a regular factor in collisions. Officers will be enforcing the speed limits until this Sunday, August the 26th, while educating drivers about the dangers of taking risks on the road. It was organised by the European Traffic Police Network, TISPOL, and carried out locally by the Roads Policing Unit. Sergeant Andy Tester from the Whitchurch Roads Policing Unit said, "If you're speeding, the chances are you'll be caught, in which case you could receive a fine, points on your licence, be disqualified for driving, or prosecuted if your driving is deemed to be dangerous."
On her bike for heroes, Holly Gottlieb, aged 22, from Avingdon, is currently cycling 3,000 miles from London to Istanbul to raise money for Help the Heroes. Holly, a former St Swithin School pupil, is taking part alongside classmates from Exeter University as part of an annual student charity event. They are cycling an average of 75 miles per day for 40 days after setting off from London on July the 26th. Their route takes them from the Alps into northern Italy and then through Croatia, Albania and Greece before they reach Turkey. Her mother Nikki said, "Over the past few months she has tried to fit in as much training as possible while studying for her final exams. Back home, aside from regular sessions in the gym, she has been cycling to London as well as pedalling some of the more challenging hills around Winchester." Holly, daughter of City Councillor Kim Gottlieb, recently graduated with a degree in ancient history, but will return to Exeter for postgrad studies in international relations. To donate, visit justgiving.com/Holly-Gottlieb.
Circles Ancient Origins. A spectacular crop circle has appeared in a wheat field near Matterley Bowl at Cheesfoot Head. The pattern is about 250 metres in diameter and appears to form a labyrinth, which over the years have been used for ecclesiastical, ritual, magic, song and dance purposes. The land just off the A272 belongs to Peveril Bruce, owner of the Matterley Bowl estate. The field is close to the site of the Boomtown Festival, which took place recently and at around the time the crop circle appeared. She said, "When you look into this design, you will see both Celtic crosses and chain links, symbols of spirituality and unity. This personifies the wonderful spirit engendered by the Olympic Games. How beautiful is that?" Mr. Bruce was unavailable to comment at the time of going to press.
Drink driver arrests down by a fifth. A summer crackdown on drink driving has seen substantial fall in the number of motorists failing breath tests. Hampshire police say they arrested 371 people, a 20% reduction on last year. Of the 371 arrested between June the 1st and July the 31st, as part of Op Solar, 271, 73%, have been charged with driving under the influence, 48, 13%, have been bailed pending further inquiries, and 52, 14%, have been released with no further action. Of those arrested, males accounted for 313, 84%. Chief Inspector Andy Bottomley of Hampshire's policing unit said, "In June we made the same number of arrests as the previous year, but with fewer drink drive operations carried out, demonstrating that drink driving is still an issue which many people do not take seriously. While we've seen a drop in the July arrests on last year, with 183 arrests made this year and 278 in 2011, 183 drink drivers is still 183 too many. Any amount of alcohol can affect the way you drive, creating a slower reaction time and a feeling of invincibility, which can cause drivers to take risks. The drink drive campaign will continue until September the 4th.
Paving slabs hurled at house. Police are hunting two vandals who threw paving slabs at a Bishopswortham home on Monday morning. The slabs smashed a front window and damaged chairs in the front garden of a house in Battery Hill between 3:20 a.m. and 3:45 a.m. PC Jonathan Earnshaw said, "This is an unusual occurrence for this area, and I am appealing to anyone who has any information to come forward. We have information to suggest that two males may have been involved. One of them may not have been wearing a top. Police are appealing for anyone who saw two men in the area at the time of the incident, or any vehicles being driven in an erratic manner. And if you have, please contact PC James Hart at Bishopswortham Police Station on 101, or call Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111.
New manager appointed at Bluebird Care. A Winchester home care provider has appointed a new manager. Bluebird Care has named Matt Hibbard as its new care manager for Winchester and Eastleigh. The company provides a full range of services for home health care, from full live-in support to help with shopping and meals. Mr. Hibbard of Bishopstoke, Eastleigh, has more than 15 years' experience in both home and residential care and will manage a team of 30. He said, "I'm really excited to be part of a national care provider whose values to deliver the highest quality of care to the most vulnerable people matches my own."
That concludes our extracts for this week. Thank you to our editors, Lorna Chorley and Michael Turner. Thanks to our copy and dispatch and studio preparation teams. Thanks to our readers, Jean Carswell.
Goodbye.
Brian Woodruff.
Goodbye.
And Pam Tilbury.
Bye-bye.
And from me, Tom Williams, goodbye and do enjoy the week ahead. Please post your memory sticks back as soon as possible in the yellow wallet. And when you put your label in the wallet, please ensure the cord attached to the memory stick is fully inside. Thank you.